Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
In the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, verses 20 through 26, hear these words of our Lord. Jesus is praying. He's praying out loud. He's not praying to himself. He's praying out loud so that his disciples can hear him. He's praying for his disciples, and he's also praying for you and me. So as we hear him pray, take this in your ears, into your heart, into your lives, because your Lord and Savior Jesus is praying for you and me. Hear what our Lord prays. I ask not only on behalf of these, he's talking about his disciples, but also on behalf of those, that's you and me, who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May we pray. May the words of our mouths, O Lord, and the meditations of our hearts bring honor and glory to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Do you have a scripture verse, or do you have something that you place at the center of your life that you build your life around? There is a commercial a long time ago about a faucet maker. I had the name on my mind and it just went away from me while I'm standing here talking to you. Colert, is there a place that makes faucets named Colert or sounds like it? Colert, you know what I'm talking about. Do you remember that commercial where this woman walks in the architect's office and says, she lays this faucet on his desk and says, build me a house around this. Now, there's a proud woman who likes Colert faucets, yes? I ask you and me, what do you and I have in the center of our being that we are building our life around? What are we building our life around? I call you to remember your Old Testament class. I bet some of you took a lot of those when John Hagin was here, when you did your disciple work. I ask you to remember your Old Testament class, especially the book of Deuteronomy, because I know Brother John taught you about the Shema. The Shema. The Shema is a prayer that the Jews pray twice a day. This is their center. This is what they build their life around. Hear these words. They will be familiar to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. What is that center that you and I have in the center of our life that each and every day we are building our life around? What is reigning in you and me? What is guiding us? What is giving us direction? What are we praying to? What are we giving our total self to? What is our focus as we live our life from day to day? Shelley Jackson is a name you may know or not know. She wrote a short story once, and where she wrote it is sort of interesting because she didn't write her short story in a book. Her short story consists of 2,095 words, and this is how she wrote her story. She asked for 2,095 people to come, and she would give them one word to tattoo on their body. And that would mean 2,095 people would have one word on their body that if they were gathered together could tell her story. Sounds interesting? You all don't seem to be fascinated with that. When I thought about it, it seemed good at the time. But when I thought about that, you know, she called the name of her short story Flesh. That would make sense, wouldn't it? This is what she said about her short story. She said, "It is a mortal work of art." A mortal work of art. And you know, that's what the church is. The church is God's mortal work of art. I ask you, what do you and I have at the center of our being? If I were to ask you, is there a word out of whatever text or scripture or whatever you have in the center, is there a word that you could say that guides everything that you say and do? Today, you and I may have that word, and that word is on our mind and our hearts. Sometimes that word may not always be there. Sometimes we might replace that word with something that might not be as good. Maybe it might be a little less. It may depend on what we're going through. There's a story told about a Emory professor from Edinburgh who came to Emory University and had an opportunity to pastor a little church in South Carolina. He went up there to be with a lot of farmers, and he thought he would bring his Edinburgh education up there and help these farmers to know Jesus. Well, one day a barn burned down, and this pastor, who was also a professor, thought it would be a good idea to extend some mercy to this farmer by going around and making a collection of money to help build his barn back. He didn't ask him if he could. He didn't ask him if he needed any help. He just went and did it as an act of grace. Well, when he got a bag full of money, he parked his car there in the driveway, and he walked up to the farmer's house, and the farmer knew what had happened, because you know, in a little community there are no secrets. Well, this farmer had a lot of pride, as you can understand, and when he came out of that house, he opened that screen door so hard that he knocked the bag of money and the preacher right off the porch. Nickels, dimes, quarters, dollars went everywhere, and of course the preacher said, "I better get out of here." So he ran towards the car, but the man was right behind him, and he said, to add insult to injury, he kicked him in the seat of the pants before he got in the car. Well, the preacher that night couldn't sleep, and little did he know, that farmer that night couldn't sleep. And he drove around the next day, and the more he thought about it, the madder he got. The madder he got. The farmer drove a red truck around the neighborhood, and One day the preacher was filling up his car with gas, and that red truck pulled into the convenience store there, and he just couldn't take it anymore. So he walked up to that red truck and he said this to the farmer. He said, "If I ever give up on Jesus," he said, "you're the first person I'm coming after." The next day, the farmer's wife came to see him at the church. And she said to him, "I just wanted to come by and thank you." And he said, "For what?" She said, "I don't know what you said to my husband yesterday, but the night before he couldn't hardly sleep. But last night he slept like a baby." And this professor preacher said it hit him. He let him off the hook. He had extended grace to him and he didn't know how to deal with it. And instead of trusting him with that, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Sometimes the words we need to communicate, we do. And sometimes we negate those words by other words. Sometimes we mean well in our words and sometimes it don't come across that way. When I was at Livonia, we had a basketball court outside the church. And we had a lot of African Americans who would come and play basketball there. I made it a point to always go by and say hello to them. And of course, you know, my first time walking up there, they all just stopped and looked at me. I get it. And they said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Well, my name is Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor of this church." Well, a bunch of them started picking up their coats. I said, "Guys, I just wanted to say thank you for coming by and playing basketball. That's why this is here. It's for the community. And it really does my heart good to see you all here playing basketball. I hope you all will come back. Thank you very much." And they just sort of stared at me. They were waiting on the next shoe to fall. But it didn't. Well, I went back in the church. A few weeks passed and we had a special service at the church and they were all out there playing basketball. And I waved at them and some of them waved back. And when I went in the church and was getting ready for the service, as I was passing a window, I saw that a bunch of them were leaving. And I thought that was odd. So I walked outside and I saw them leaving. And I said, "Hey, where are y'all going?" And I had a church person say to me, "Preacher, I've asked them to leave because we're getting ready to have a special service." And I thought, "No, no, 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 no. Oh, dear God, no, please, please, no." And as they were leaving, I said, wait a minute, whoa, 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 please don't leave. Come back." And they said, "That's all right, preacher. We'll be back later." Sometimes the words we say to people we mean well to bring honor and glory to the Almighty God. But sometimes our honor and glory doesn't glorify God at all. It dishonors Him. I don't know about you, but I would rather have people playing basketball on church property than where a lot of people could be in a church that's having a service. Words. Who is at the center of mine and your being? Who guides what we say? Who guides what we do? I pray today, brothers and sisters, that the word that you have at the center of your life is Jesus. Because He is the one who will guide us and direct us through His Holy Spirit about the words we can say and the deeds we can do. Because, brothers and sisters, words of God gathers. When the Word of God is spoken, it gathers. But when the Word of God isn't spoken, it scatters. I ask you and I ask me, let us be the people of a Word, not that scatters, but that gathers. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Continuing in our Holy Communion service on page 13, it's in your hymnal, and if you want to turn there, I invite you to do so now, or it will be on the screen. I will read that in light print and ask you to respond by reading that in bold. Let us begin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now pray with me, if you would, please, that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, which begins, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.